I'm here to win games.
Important Bears are talking, and when they talk, we listen. Ryan Poles, the general manager. Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, met the media today. This is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and it starts with Ian Cunningham delivering the opening statement.
Thank you guys for coming. It's good to see everybody. Just want to say there's an energy in this building this week with all the players coming back. They got back last Monday, so it's good to see some familiar faces, get caught up with them, get to see some new faces, get to know them a little bit more. But that energy also is because of the draft this week, so we get a chance to add a few more players to this roster that we're excited about. Before we get going, I just want to say thank you. So bear with me a little bit, kind of like last year. Just first to Flus and the coaching staff. Obviously, we have a lot of new coaches, primarily on offensive staff, but a couple on defense as well. They've been awesome through this process, through free agency, with all the evaluations we've asked them to watch or do, as well as our draft process. These guys have worked tirelessly. A lot of hours that have been put into this. So just want to say thank you to them. Our personnel staff, in particular our college staff, Trey Koziel, Breck Ackley have done a tremendous job of really spearheading this whole thing. Can't thank them enough. Our college scouts as well, just all the hours that they put on the road. Ryan and I both have done it. The sacrifice that their families have to make for us in order for us to be put in this position to do what we're going to do this weekend. Just want to make sure that we say thank you to them for their work. With Flus and Ryan, their leadership, it's a collaborative approach. So it does take a village. We lean a lot on all of our football ops staff. First, just want to say thank you to our video and our IT with Darby, their crew, Mike, his crew. We make a lot of tweaks throughout the year, and they've been really helpful in making our process a lot more efficient. Analytics with Krithi, Hubley, Andrea, with all the mock drafts and simulations we do, all the models, just the information in which they provide, have been really helpful for us. Our medical staff, our trainers, Dre, Tim, our doctors, just providing us with the medical information in which we need. Our performance team, when we bring guys in on 30 visits, just them giving us insight in terms of growth potential for the players. Just want to make sure to note them. Our wellness team and engagement team, Carla, Andy, who's been great to get to know, along with Erica and Bryce, they do a lot for us, so I want to say thank you to them. As well as Tarp and Pete with all the security information in which they provide us. Kyle, Jay, George, Miles, seems like they were in a triple threat position this whole offseason. Just with all the travel that we've had to do, they've had to pivot. They've been flexible. Just want to make sure we highlight them. And last but not least, Ashton Washington, our scouting coordinator, does an incredible job of keeping us organized and aligned, as well as our three scouting assistants, Keith Earl, Jake Ponikvar, and David Dudek. These guys juggle a lot. We've both been there. It's a tough job. It's a thankless job, but it's been really cool to see their growth this year, and they all have a bright future in this league.
Awesome. Before I open up to questions, just also want to shout this guy out. I am blessed out of my socks to have him by my side through this process. Just especially when you reflect back to the first 2 years getting this thing off the ground. To have a guy like him, it's not a yes man, that keeps me in line when I start getting off track. To keep our staff together when I get pulled in different directions. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Ian as well, being there and being an unbelievable partner. So.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. So open up to questions.
Ryan, you've had such a long process with this. Your pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You have the top pick. Yep. You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are, and and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
What did you learn about him when he came to Allison, when you took him to dinner with a couple of your vets?
Yeah, I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. Kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
How did that dinner work specifically? Are you at a different table or are you across the room?
Yeah, I was in a different room.
Different room? And okay.
Brian, does the league not want you to announce the pick, or is that just your personal MO?
No one's told me, so it's my personal deal. And let's have some excitement on Thursday, right?
You said you wanted to get feedback from your players from their dinner with Caleb. What was the feedback that you got from them and from the coaches that were?
Yeah, really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. We've talked through this process about the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
Right, I'm sure you guys have identified how many blue players you all feel are available at positions of need if you're in the top nine. And just because you all have the ninth pick, that's probably the most likely scenario that you pick there. But what would be the second most likely option? Would that be to move up for a guy you guys absolutely love, or to fall back and get one of those guys?
Yeah, that's hard to answer right now. I think as the draft unfolds, there's going to be some indicators that kind of start to educate us on how we need to move to acquire the top talents in this draft.
If a trade back does kind of become the scenario, is there a threshold where you go, okay, this is too far back to move? We want to kind of stay in this range. Is there a range for you?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, the players in certain ranges, and that's, we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, here's the line, we can't go past that.
Do you feel a need to add more picks?
Right.
Feel a need to add more picks going in with only four?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
Ryan, you said this kind of for both of you guys. You said that Ian is not a yes man. So how does that, if you could share with us a little bit, how does that process works if he is vehemently disagreeing with something that you're saying, how do you take it all into account? Or if other voices are saying no, Ryan, what do you take it all into account?
Yeah, take it all into account. You want to answer that question?
I don't know how to answer that. I think it was towards you. I don't know. What does the yes man mean?
Yeah, so I think the big thing is you talk about whatever process you're in, if it's a draft of kind of what your standards are, how you want to operate, what you're looking to accomplish, and you lay that out in some type of it's a conversation, but an outline. And there's always situations, oftentimes there's situations that start to push you outside of what you said you wanted to accomplish, what we all agreed as a coaching staff, a front office, what we want to accomplish. And there's things that happen that start to push you outside those lines. And with all of those things happening, sometimes as a leader, you do get distracted. There are things that kind of pull you outside of maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we need to switch gears. And you need people like Ian, like Flus, like Kevin to say, hey, man, like, we want to accomplish this. We want to stay in these lines. We want to do it this way. And once they kind of see that you're getting off that track, to nudge you back into where you should be. I think I've been fortunate and blessed enough to have the skill set to take in that information, not to take it personal, not to say, well, I'm running the show. Like, it's all about what I want to do. It's listening to the people that you trust so that you stay in the lines of doing things that you how you want to do it and how you want to accomplish your goals.
Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers on Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
I feel pretty good about just being flexible. That's why we did that project with kind of some premium positions with O-line, with D-line, receiver, and all that feedback was outstanding. Like, it gave you a really good feeling. Like, there's different championship caliber teams that have built their teams in different ways. And it really, I think, solidified just those premium positions are important. So that I'd say, like, those three are there. It matches up with his draft pretty well.
Right. Ryan, there's a lot fewer underclassmen declaring now than there were like 5-6 years ago. How much of that influences your comfort with having 4 picks and also the comfort to move some of the picks that you did to get Bates and Keenan and the guys that you did?
Yeah, I think we both feel comfortable with how the board set based off of the draft class. Each year is different, right? This year, I think there were, I want to say, 58 juniors that declared, to your point, like, each year is different, so we kind of have to work in the constructs of this year with what we have given to us.
How do you look back at the roster that you inherited and that first draft you had, and now here you are in a position where you feel really good about the way the roster is built. And what is the feeling heading into the draft, looking at what you've brought together so far?
Yeah, like the job's never done, but we have had those conversations, and it does put a smile on your face in terms of the work that we've done. Like, I feel like we've done a good job getting the roster where it is. It makes me feel really fortunate about some of the things that happened to allow us to build the roster maybe a little bit more efficiently than if everything was kind of flat. So it's something to be proud of, but at the same time, you know, the job's not done. I've talked about it before. On paper, it's on paper. Like, you got to play, you got to win games in this league. That's what it comes down to. But we have taken the time just to, for a second, not long, but and we're proud of where we've come from.
How do you all balance the subject? Is the idea of having so few picks, is that, how much does the strength of the current roster play into your comfort level with having that number of picks versus your first couple of years you needed a lot of picks?
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft, and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
When you evaluate your needs at defensive line, how do you weigh the impact of a defensive tackle versus an end? And you said, you know, different teams build it different ways. Was part of your evaluation at that position, okay, who did it by going inside first versus getting an edge rusher first?
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like, if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up. So.
Ryan, are you able to shoot
the top 30 visit? The one that where Caleb and some of the other guys were there for that dinner. Guys aren't here yet, current players. Was it? How did you get guys to come back? Were they volunteering? Was it something that they wanted to be here for? Or was it something that you reached out to them about being a part of?
Yeah, I respect their time. It's the off season, so just if they were available and they wanted to, they could do that. There's a good chunk of the roster that stays here, and there's a good group that, you know, disperses around the country to their kind of off-season locations, kind of went through it that way. But there's some guys I had in mind that I think it would be important for to sit down with.
Ryan, are you able to share how many first-round grades that you guys have? And then, I guess, like, how do you delineate when you use a top 10 pick outside of the first pick, what does that player have to have to use in order for you to use the ninth pick?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, a seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing too is, you know, we had a good conversation with the Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors. And he said, you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
In the evaluation process, how do you balance a scenario where maybe you have an opportunity to get the third best prospect at one position versus getting the top prospect at another position?
Say that one more time for me.
Maybe you can get the third best receiver. Maybe you can get the top defensive lineman on your board. How do you balance going about that process in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, that'll come down to all the characteristics that we look like, the skill set, the whole person. We have this long process. Ian and I sit down. We actually sequence the board, one through whatever it is this year, 200, whatever, could be less than that. And we sequence it to kind of sort that part out. So you work your stacks vertically, and then you work horizontal, and you work down the board that way.
Caleb's been very open with his huge goals. Like, what's been your reaction when you've learned that, you know, he wants to, you know, compete with 8 Super Bowls and Tom Brady and all that stuff? Like, what's your reaction when you hear him say stuff like that?
Yeah, I love it. I think we all should have huge goals. We have huge goals here, win multiple championships, and that's what we shoot for. That's you're more intentional when you have these goals that you're shooting. You have to live a certain way. You have to practice a certain way. You have to go about your business a certain way in order to accomplish those. So if everything else is aligned underneath that, that gets me excited.
I know you said that we'll have to wait until Thursday until it becomes official, but you guys only hosted one quarterback on a top 30. Caleb only took one visit to a team. As you go through the homework process, what made you comfortable in going that route of not having some of the other top QBs in here?
Yeah, I would say the different prospects are kind of the journey to collect all that information is different for everyone. There's guys on our board that are high that didn't come in for a 30 visit, that we've had other touch points. Our networks in the building know the player inside and out that we really, really trust. You had the combine. There's different kind of touch points. You don't necessarily have to bring everybody in on a visit.
Right. Ian, you've been a popular candidate around the league in the hiring cycles, but you've stayed here. What has it meant to you to be part of the experience of theoretically now completing the rebuild project here?
It's funny, we've been talking about that a little bit. You know, personally, just extremely grateful for the opportunity. Not many people in any walk of life get to work with arguably one of their best friends, right? And so for me to be able to work alongside him, for him to trust me, we all knew that, you know, this was his goal. I have a similar goal. But it means everything for me just to be able to work with him every single day. I know my opportunity will come. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride, and looking forward to this weekend to kind of see things through.
Oh, well, we get it. You guys like each other. That's Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's great. If we can have a draft bromance going on, all the better. The one statement that I kind of said, ooh, a little spicy there, was it's going to be hard to make this team.
Yeah, I wrote that down. It's going to be hard to make this team now. That's a statement that should get Bears fans excited.
Well, you know what that also tells me? If your team's hard to make, you should be in the playoffs.
100%. I mean, look, that's
a confident statement. Back it up.
Yes, it is. It's a very confident statement. It's also, if you're already reflecting on the rebuilding process being over,
mm-hmm. that means playoffs.
That means that it's okay for fans to push and say, all right, then it's competition window time now, right? Now that the rebuild's over and Thursday you get your quarterback.
There's a lot of back padding going on right now. There's a lot of mission accomplished back padding going on here.
Get your bomber jacket and a thing.
Yeah. Stand there on the deck of the carrier. So now.
Not going to get fooled again.
Now you can do it. Tune in Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. after the Cubs game. Wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special live from Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wonstead and Patrick Manley. Tune in on The Score or the Odyssey app. You can also watch the Parkins and Spiegel draft special on Twitch, on X, Twitter, YouTube. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.